To talk to you about a church that I love. It's a church that was founded on prayer. It actually began with a very small prayer meeting. and the Holy Spirit was very active in that church. And God gave somebody a vision. That was the beginning of that church. And when they established the church, there was a lot of pain and hardship. There was a lot of opposition. And so the church was founded with great cost. It wasn't a perfect church. In fact, we know two women who were arguing and falling out with each other, and were told to try and behave themselves by the leader. And it was a church full of incredible happiness at that time. Wonder if you know what church that is. No, I'm not talking about us, far from it. I'm talking about the church at Philippi, which we're actually going to look at today. This church was an incredible church, and it was founded, as I say, by a prayer meeting, a lady called Lydia, who was a businesswoman, and she had congregated a little group of people who were praying. It was a church that was guided by the Holy Spirit on a number of occasions. The Holy Spirit told Paul, when Paul wanted to go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit says, you're not going there. There was a church where before it was founded, doors had been closed to other areas that the apostle wanted to go to. And we know this because the church was the church in Turkey, as we would know, modern Turkey. And Paul was ministering in central and west Turkey, and he wanted to go up north, but the Holy Spirit, and I don't know how he did this, but the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going up north. You're actually going to go west, and I'm going to take you to a place called Troas. Now, Troas was on the seashore. It was a port, but he wasn't going there for a nice holiday of some sort. While he was there, Paul got a vision. Now, visions were common in the Bible. It was common for the Holy Spirit to guide people with vision and with visions. Some of these visions, most of these visions, take place when you're awake. If they take place while you're asleep, they usually are like a dream. But Paul had this vision of a man from across the waters from Troas, a man from Macedonia. And he had this vision of the man from Macedonia who said, come over to Macedonia, we need you. And you can read all of this in Acts chapter 16. And Paul went over to Macedonia, and he found a little prayer group there. He found this girl Lydia, and an incredible church began there. And, you know, we should, and this might be relevant to somebody today, we should be willing to accept the will and purpose of God when he closes a door in our lives. I know that's hard for some of us, because we want something so badly. But when God closes a door, we should accept his will and purpose. We should not become disappointed and bitter against God when he closes a door that we wanted him to open for us. We should trust that the Lord works everything for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We should earnestly seek God for his revelation so that we can realize it when the Lord has closed the door for us. We submit to his will. Because if one door is closed, it means you've not to go there. You've not to do that. No matter how spiritual a person may be who comes to you and tells you that you just keep praying and pushing and pushing. If God closes a door, it's because there is another door that he has got for you. And he wants you to go through that door. Now, Paul was desperate to go north from where he was. He felt, and would you agree with him, with me, that he was a spiritual man? Would you agree that maybe he was more in tune with God than any of us? Possibly. I think so. And yet he desperately wanted to go somewhere, and God said, no, you're not going there. Now, we don't read that he said, but God, their need is greater. Or, God, let's have a discussion about that. He just simply obeyed the Spirit and he went west instead of north. And aren't we so glad that he obeyed the Spirit of God? Aren't we glad that he did? And wasn't Paul glad that he did? Because an amazing thing happened when Paul, who was so sure that he should go north, God said, you go west. And God did that on a number of occasions with Paul. And you know, this book of Philippians, I love this church. I love this book of Philippians. Don't you love this book of Philippians? Have you ever sat down and just read it? You know, this epistle wasn't meant to be broken up into little bits. I mean, when somebody sends you a letter, what do? Do you just read the first paragraph, close it, and then maybe next week in your quiet time, open and read the next paragraph of the letter? You sit and you read the whole letter. How many of us do that? Well, I'm challenging you, do it with Philippians. And do it in a good translation like the Passion Translation. If you want to do it in the Passion, come to me, I'll give you a discount. It's a good translation. And this is a church that is built upon the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And it was costly because we know that as Paul went over there, he was arrested, him and Silas, and beaten and put in prison. Just after visiting Lydia in our prayer meeting. And he gets put in the prison. Now, how many of you would likely say, because I've heard some people do this in their comments to other people, oh, it's so bad. That was a terrible thing. Maybe you didn't hear from God. Maybe you shouldn't have gone west. Maybe you should have gone north, Paul. Because look at you now. You're in a prison. They've arrested you. They've beaten you up with your pal Silas. And sometimes people say that, don't they? When you're following the will of the Lord and there's a cost to it. You say, well, maybe it wasn't the will of the Lord. But you know, the will of the Lord often comes with a cost. You want to see the scars? Sometimes it does come with a cost. But what was the reaction of Paul and Silas? Moan and grumble? Question whether they had heard from God? No. Do you know what they did? They had a praise and prayer meeting. Just two of them. They just went for it. Other prisoners heard. jailer was converted. Do you know the power of prayer and praise? No, you don't. No, you don't. And I don't. If you knew it, you'd be at the prayer meetings. And I would be at the prayer meetings. We've got a lot to learn in our church about the power of praise and prayer. I don't go to the morning prayer meeting for a particular reason. I'm ashamed of it. I feel guilty about it. But there's a reason why I can't get there. And I've told Steve and others, I'd love to be there, but there's a reason. And it's a medical reason. But there are other areas of prayer that we gather. And I think that if you looked, if you talk to any church leader, you would often say that they are a church that believes in prayer, but it's just that the prayer meetings are not kind of attractive enough for the people of God. Well, for Paul and Silas, they just prayed and a miracle happened. How many of you want a miracle without praise and prayer? But you know, this is what Paul did. And you know, when they beat them up and they left him, do you know where he went after that? They went back to Lydia's home where the wee church, house church, was meeting. They went back there. And they were so encouraged because these guys, they stood fast no matter what it cost. They stood fast. They could have been released. They stood fast. But I tell you this church, and it breaks my heart to say it, but there are so many who are not prepared for the cost of standing firm for Christ and his gospel. And that's why the country is in the state that it is today. The church is weak in the UK. Don't go blaming Mrs. May or any other one. The church was meant to be the redeeming, transforming power in the nation. And we are not. When you find 600 Muslims outside a Birmingham primary school standing for what they believe to be true and saying, please do not teach our children what you are teaching about lesbianism, gay, transgenderism, etc. at the age of 6. They're too young to hear it, and 600 of them, it was reported, protested outside that school and said, we do not want our children to be subjected to that at that early age. And the school stopped it. See, if two Christians did that today, there would be mayhem. We would be absolutely pillarized in the press because of it. But they don't expect Christians to do that. And if I had a hat, I would take my hat off to those Muslims because they believed something that they were willing to stand for. I'm glad that the church of Philippi wasn't like that. The church of Philippi was an incredible church that began small, began with prayer, began with vision, began with that praise and prayer, that excitement of God, and who were willing to actually share the gospel of Christ. Paul loved the Philippians. Paul loved them. He said to you in verses 4, chapter 1, my prayers for you are full of praise to God as I give thanks for you with great joy. I'm so grateful for you, he said. And later on he says, it's no wonder I pray with such confidence, since you have a permanent place in my heart. A permanent place in my heart. What a leader that man is. And then he challenges in chapter 1 and verse 27, whatever happens, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel which reveals Jesus to others. And then he goes on and on. Please do read this. This is an amazing, amazing church. There are two guys that he commends to the Philippians. One is young Timothy, and the other one is a guy called Epaphroditus, or Epaphroditus, or just called him Epaphras. And these were two men who were such a blessing to that church. And then the reading we had that Joseph read so well this morning, the reading we had, let me just read it. Read a couple of verses about what Paul said that in the Passion Translation. This is what he wrote in verse 9. My passion is to be consumed with him. I love that. My passion is to be consumed with him. I tell you, I just get so challenged with that. My passion, everything about me, I am consumed with him. I'm often consumed with doubt, with fear, with worry, with all this, with consumed with my own agenda, consumed with what I want to do. And he says, my passion is to be consumed by, what does it mean to be consumed? Everything about him was about Jesus. He was consumed by Jesus. And he admits it, he hasn't reached it there. He's saying, I'm forgetting what is past and I'm going for what is in the future in this consuming passion I have for Jesus. Some of us here today need to forget the past. Some of you need to draw a line under the past, because the past is holding you from achieving the goal that Jesus wants for you. I don't know what's that in the past. I don't know what happened to you in the past. I don't know what experiences you've had in the past. But God's word for you today is you need to let go of the past. Give it to Jesus. Give it to God, whatever it is. Let the past be past. Forgetting what is in the past, I press on. It's time for you to press on. As you reach out to Jesus, and as you say to Jesus, Jesus, the past has been so painful. I know it has. Now, forget the past. Move on to the future, Paul says, as he is consumed by Jesus. Consumed in a wonderful way. He's not reached the abundance yet, but he's running. He's running to gain the prize of, and what is the prize of knowing Jesus fully? So it's a good church. It's one well worth. We need to become more like the Philippians. Let me finish with one verse. It's my favorite verse. It's not my favorite verse. I just told you what my favorite verse was. Consumed with passion. But this is close. He says this, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. See, if Paul was preaching that, I'd slap him. I'd give him a slap. I said, what do you mean? You know, something like, oh, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. You know, you'd say, you know nothing about me, Paul. Oh, get a life. Don't be pulled, the apostle says, through that direction of the Holy Spirit. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Is that you? Are you being pulled in different directions? And are you worried about a thing? And another thing and some other things? No, don't be pulled. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Is that me? Do I begin and end my days? Is my day saturated in prayer? Be saturated in prayer through each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Fill your requests with overflowing gratitude. And then it says, and I love this little piece, tell God every detail of your life. Tell God every detail. How can I put it? The way you stop worrying is to sit down, sit in your backside or kneel, and tell God every detail of your life. But he already knows it. He knows it. But you need to tell him it, because as you rehearse it, something is happening by the Holy Spirit. As you tell him, God, I am having a rotten day. God, you know what that person said. God, this, God, that, God, the next thing. God, we don't have money to see us through to the end of the month. God, you know that particular relative that gets right up my nose. God, you know, tell him everything. God, I've got to go to surgery today. God, I've got an appointment with my GP. God, I'm just now going down the road to the shops. God, I'm going to tell you every little detail. God, I've got a sore pinky. Did you know about that? Yes, tell me about it. Tell me everything. How do we do that? Do you do that? Tell him every detail of your life. And what he's referring to there is everything that you're worrying about. Tell him it. If he's, tell him. And if you want to shout, shout. He can take it. You could just shout, God, I am sick to death of this situation. Tell him it. God, that person, I'm very cold, God. Tell him it. And when you tell him it, and you give him it, this is what it says. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts fixed. So today, in closing, this wonderful church, we say, come on, church. It's time to get the peace that passes all understanding. Let's do it. Let's do it. I mean business today. I'm sick to death of people wearing masks. And I'm sick to death as I am the chief of sinners. It's time. It's time now. It's time to get... Oh, by the way, the other thing about that epistle is 18 times, and this will make you smile, 18 times it uses the word joy or its derivative, joy. That's right, Jimmy, joy. What are you laughing at? You're right, it's joy. I mean, he's just told you to make... You know, to get the peace, to tell him all your worries, and now it's joy. Church full of joy. Joy is not, you know, you know how you used to say, if you've got joy, let your tell your face about it. You remember that one? See, if somebody tells me that, I'm going to kick them. If you get it, because joy... I can have joy like that. I can smile. That's not joy. That's a grimace. Joy is not that. How are you? Joy is so deep. They see when you're hurting like hell, you've got a joy inside you. It's not a, it's something that keeps you. It's something that's there. It'll never leave you. And do you know what the joy is called? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is in here. And he wants to overflow. So, let's wait in God. Let's just see what God wants to do among us this morning. Let me just, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And then we'll see what God has to do. Maybe God wants to give you a vision. Maybe God wants to give you a really encouraging message that is going to bless somebody this morning. Maybe in the form of a picture. Maybe in the form of some words. Maybe in the form of the actual scriptures. There's a scripture just hit you in the head, and that is for somebody. You see, one of the things that Paul said in the church of Philippi is encourage one another. And this is how we encourage one another, because we try and listen to hear what God has to say, and then we try and share it with others for whom it's meant to be. Holy Spirit, come among us this morning. We have sung the praise of Jesus. We have heard his word. You say, come. Come, be passionate. Have that great passion to be consumed by Jesus. Holy Spirit, come.